excited to hear it.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, snap. I'm kind of scared.
You're scared. Are you scared to be on this podcast, listening to this podcast? If you listened to this, if you tuned in, you are wondering, are my boundaries being violated? You're thinking to yourself, I need some wisdom. I need some brilliance. I need to find a way to navigate my way through addiction and codependency. I need a breakthrough with the incomparable, the brilliant, the beautiful, the genius, and my betrothed. It is the astounding addiction and breakthrough expert, Heidi Ray!
Now, I was wondering how we can just set that up so as I walk into the Walmart, I could have used you in Walmart today. A lot of people didn't know who I was, Doug, and they were in my way, and you could have done that echo thing.
They were violating your boundaries.
They were violating my boundaries in the car today. They were violating my boundaries by breathing in my direction.
By looking at you?
Yeah, just by
existing. Just glancing in your direction.
Just by basically existing.
Taking up space and
it was
energy.
Definitely one of those days today that was, you know, because I'm under pressure, under stress, and that's when we know we need more boundaries. Because
diving right in.
Listen, I was going to ask that question. Yeah. How do you know you need them? Hey, Anyway, it's Heidi Rain and my amazing superstar, rock star, legendary husband, Doug McGurr.
Doug McGurr.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there. Yeah. So tonight, our conversation is all about boundaries. And this is Addiction and Codependency Breakthrough, our live recording. A live tape recording of our podcast, which drops Monday nights, I think, or Monday mornings. Monday mornings. Okay, perfect. So it's Wednesdays. If you want to join us live and ask your questions and put them in the chat, we'd be happy to answer them. Tonight, by request, we're doing a conversation all about boundaries tonight, and we'll be answering your questions as we go along. So please, by all means, be asking them. We're live in multiple places, two actually, in our Addiction and Codependency Breakthrough group, our private group in Facebook, and also on the YouTubes. So here we are, all about boundaries. Now, why is it so important to have a boundary, and how do you know you ain't got them?
Well, what if you started with, I'm just curious.
What is it?
Yeah.
What? No, I what? Actually, yeah. Actually, no, I'm not even going to start with that because...
People think they already know?
All right, we'll start with that.
No,
what is it? What is a boundary?
Well, a boundary would be a line in the sand, as it were,
now
of
listen.
What you're willing to tolerate or put up
okay,
with.
Okay, right there, there we go.
See? A misnomer?
Listen to me right now. What happens in the sand?
It was the proverbial line
No. This is what people say all the time. A boundary is a line in the sand. Well, honey, that shit is going to wash away the next time the ship comes in and goes out.
It was proverbial. It was...
Well, there ain't nothing proverbial about a boundary. Let's go again. Now, he already knows how I am, that I just like to stir the pot and be contrarian. Mm. So what else might... Not you. You know what a boundary is. Oh. You drew one with me at one point in our relationship and my drinking. Mm-hmm. I say this story all the time about how I was a binge drinker. And you said to me, hey, I love you so much and not but... But and when you drink, you turn into this other person. So here's my thing. I'm not going to co-sign that by joining you or encouraging that or doing participating with you. So if you choose to engage in that behavior, I'm still going to love you, but I'm going to love you from over here.
And I'm going to love you from over here.
I already said that. Thanks.
No, you said but.
Oh, and I'm going to love you from over here. Right? Exactly. So a boundary is what we think typically, and you can put it in your comments, is that it is my bottom line. It is what I need you to behave a certain way. That's how we think of boundaries. I need you to stop doing what you're doing and start doing something else instead.
The red line.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you what I need you to do and expect you to do it. Now, if you think that's a boundary, you're in big trouble, all right? Because why do the narcissists cross the road?
Because they wanted to?
Because they thought it was a boundary. Why did the active addict cross the road?
Same answer?
Same answer, yes, yes. Very good. You're catching on quickly tonight, and I like that about you. Yes.
Picking up what you're laying down.
Are you spagging what I'm mowing?
Yeah.
Are you smelling what I'm stepping in?
I might be stepping in it too then.
Okay. I want you to think about this as a boundary. You can write this down. I know you guys take lots of notes when you're watching the YouTube and listening to the podcast because you tell me you have notebooks full, and this is really a writer downer. So this is a writer downer. Are you ready? A boundary is a sacred resolution set by the soul. Okay? It is a sacred resolution set by your soul.
Soul.
Honey, drop it like it's hot. So here's the thing. We think a boundary is about other people's behavior. A boundary is about what you are absolutely unwilling to tolerate, settle for, or put up with in your life, and what you're going to do about it when they cross the boundary. Okay? What are you going to do when it happens? Because I'm going to tell you right now, it will.
So are you suggesting...
Yes, I am, probably.
I'm gathering that you are. Yeah, are you suggesting that one should have clarity on what their boundaries are and what they might do if they're violated?
Well, that's the first thing. I think so many of us kind of know when our boundaries are being crossed. And the unfortunate thing is you wait till the cross is too far. So I'm going to give you a perfect example, okay? I know you guys know I love a good story, a good analogy. One of my first jobs in psychology was working at an adolescent, basically a residential treatment facility for emotionally disturbed youth. They were 7 to 18 years old. And they lived on like a college campus that had been converted into treatment. And they lived there full time and went to school there. And these kids were like a step away from juvenile detention, from a lockdown facility. And there were hundreds of kids on this campus. And then we were the staff. And I was one of the mental health workers there. And so many times when somebody would act out or begin to go off the rails, when these kids went off the rails, they went off the rails. We're talking oppositional defiant disorder, conduct disorder, you know, bipolar, you name it, these kids had it, and intermittent explosive disorder. So as you can imagine, when these kids went off and violated boundary, they really went off. And often staff would have to use safe physical management and run across and grab somebody and put them in a restrictive hold so they wouldn't hurt themselves or somebody else. It was pretty bad. So you can imagine boundaries were a really important thing for the safety of not just the kids, but also the staff as well. You know, I would work with a lot of different people, and we had such a privilege because our house was called Everhart on the campus, and we had the best like residents of the week after week, and we had 10 to 13 year old boys. Rough age, right? A whole house of them up to 20. And what would happen is we all would eat together at a table for meals, and all the kids would sit down, and you could tell that a kid was about to pop off long before they were about to pop off, okay? Now, you have a decision to make where your line is, okay, what you're willing to tolerate. Some people would watch the mayhem start to build and then kind of like ignore it. Hey, if you do that again, this is going to happen. Hey, one more time, you know, do this whole thing. And then kind of like, guys, you know better. And you could just watch this shit show going down in front of you thinking, oh my God, at any minute, we're going to be in danger. And sure enough, in a house like that, before you know it, the table was flipping upside down and somebody's reaching for a kitchen knife. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's frowned upon.
The only time... The only time those knives were available is when the staff was there cooking the thing. Okay? So where is your point of intervention with somebody who you know is about to go rogue? Okay? So for me, I would know the kid... Before the table flips, the kid is tapping the table with a pen, okay? The kid is banging his hands on the table. The kid is interjecting with another kid, trying to pop it, get him to go off. There's lots of behavior. So my thing is, hey, if you continue to tap the table, you're going to be removed from the table and we're going to go to another room. I don't wait for the table to flip, okay, before I interject. So for you, if you're so used to tolerating terrible behavior that you wait for the big explosion, okay, like I need proof. I need to wait till I catch him in the bed with the person. I've said this myself, actually, in another relationship. You know, if I could just catch him in bed, then that would be the boundary, and then I'd know. Isn't that nuts?
That's terrible.
You know why?
Poor thing.
Yes, because my barometer for pain was high, and my boundaries were low. Another writer downer, you know? So I would say if somebody, and I've heard all the time I deal with, you know, addiction and codependency, well, if he drives drunk, then I'll do it. Right. If he gets arrested, if he loses his job, well, by then it's really late in the game for you and for everybody else involved.
It reminded me of a true story that happened with a family member with a young child. And they said,
sounds really scary. Are we sure we want to?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And he was doing whatever he was doing, and she's like, I'm going to count to three.
Oh.
Yeah. One.
See how dysfunctional my mind is? I automatically think that we're talking about child abuse.
Well, this actually was, because watch this.
Oh, my God.
One, two, two.
Yeah.
Two, and now the poor kid doesn't know how to add.
Oh, God. Okay, so.
But point being is that there was no boundary. It just kept moving.
No, that's exactly it. The boundary line keeps getting moved, like the line in the sand washes away and then we draw another one. So you have got to know that it's okay to move your line. And I tell clients all the time, well, Heidi, when if they're in recovery and if they're trying to be sober and they relapse and I find a beer can, is that the time, you know, that feels like, oh, I'm going to kick them out, but I'm not prepared to kick him out. I don't want to do that. Where's my line? My line is this. When you're in a relationship with somebody who's misusing drugs or alcohol or pornography or gambling or whatever it is, the minute, now I want you to hear me, the minute it starts to affect you, your psychology, your finances, your mental health, your emotional state, that's enough of a flag for you to set a boundary right then and there. Don't wait until you're a step away from a breakdown. Don't wait until you can't take it anymore. That's too late. It's like when you're on a diet and you don't eat until you're starving and then you eat everything. Okay. You don't wait until you're famished. You don't wait until you're at your wit's end to set a boundary. You do it much sooner. As soon as you start to notice I'm being impacted by this, something has to change. All right, so that's when to set a boundary is anytime you are feeling mentally, psychologically, physically, spiritually, sexually compromised, put in a position you don't want to be in, anytime you feel that sense of self-betrayal, I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it, I don't want to go for this, but I'm going to go for it, anytime you feel yourself in that space, you got to back up, beep, beep, back the truck up, and set a boundary. With who? First, yourself. Yourself.
Self, 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 self.
Okay. Listen, if you don't know what your line is, is this chair squeaking in the microphone as you're squawking on it, or is it?
I hope not. But...
Okay.
Thanks for pointing it out. I'm
if
sure
it is squeaking in your ear.
What is that squeaky?
I'm glad I didn't get the squeaky chair because I'd be nuts right now, like a prisoner.
I'm trying not to move.
Oh, you poor baby. Here's the thing. You have to know where your boundary is. That's a sacred decision, a resolution set by your soul, a sacred no. You have to know where that is, and that is an immovable decision. Okay. Jamie, happy birthday. It was just her birthday.
Oh.
Can you do this?
Birthday.
This is not our gang sign. This is a finger hug. Oh. She's a teacher and they, you know, they give finger hugs to their students, and I think it's so cute.
When you do that, you're saying I'm giving you a
Yeah,
a
I'm
hug?
Giving you a hug. Hugs.
Because you're not allowed to hug them.
See that? Yeah. All right. So Here's the thing. When you set the boundary with yourself, it is, and most people don't make a true decision with themselves. They waffle back and forth. And you and I know this. Okay, we all know this. But to decide, what is the root of the word decide or decision?
Decidere, which is Greek, to cut off.
Okay, so what does that mean?
It means that when you cut off, you eliminate the use of that conversation. So when you cut off the decision, whatever you're making that decision on, you're cutting off the option.
Any other possibility.
Right.
Any other option. And I used to talk about this in the treatment center all the time, that most people don't decide to get sober, they try. And there's a big distinction between deciding to hold a boundary or trying to hold a boundary, deciding to get sober or trying to get sober. The morning that I woke up and decided to be sober, we were together about a year, and I had been like a drunken wine night. Wine was my, drug of torture. And I drank like a whole bottle of wine and had some Ativan and woke up in the morning with bruises. And I looked over at my then boyfriend, who was like the sweetest, most loving, kindest human being that I'd ever met in my life. And I was so tired of waking up and not remembering what happened and waiting for the look on his face to see what, if I should apologize or not, or how bad it was. And that was the holy moment where I said, I've had my last drink. That was a true decision. That was 15 years ago. That was 14 years ago. That was a true decision that I made. And I used to tell people in recovery all the time, John Maxwell taught me this when I was mentoring under him. You make the decision one time, and then you manage that decision every day of your life. That's a writer downer. You make the decision one time, and then you manage that decision every day of your life. But for heaven's sakes, you don't wake up and re-decide every day. Where's my line today? What am I going to tolerate today? Am I going to use a substance today? Am I going to, you know, it's not
That's
a
just
mystery.
Not sustainable.
Hell no, man. You'd I don't want to wake
nuts.
Up and I would be nuts.
Yeah.
If I woke up every day and thought, is today the day I'm going to fuck it up? I would hate my life. I decided 14 years ago I was done with that, but there are many things that I have to do to manage that decision every day.
And there's actually a series of decisions, because after you make that decision what you're not going to do, now it's the decision on what you are going to do. What are the next choices? What are the options? So you have a healthy list of tools for management.
Right.
That's why people go nuts and then they focus on, oh, today's going to... That's the only choice they have because...
I don't want to mean to interrupt you, but yeah. You just reminded me when people say this one day at a time conversation. Oh, Heidi, that's total shit, because you just have to go one day at a time. And that's what they teach you. One day at a time doesn't mean you get up and decide if you're going to be sober or not. One day at a time means you decided to be sober. And one day at a time, you make that frickin' happen.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay. It doesn't mean like, oh, well, I'm going to try again today.
Well,
that's not what that means, man.
Let's use another.
I get so fired up. I'm getting hot.
Another
metaphor.
I told you. There you go. Yeah. I was going to bring one downstairs.
This from Disney at Magic Kingdom. I mean, at Animal Kingdom.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Is the, like, going to the gym, right? You decide, I'm going to build these muscles. I'm going to, you know, do whatever, like whatever my outcome is, to lose X amount of pounds or build X amount of muscle. Well, you make that decision, but the management, it's
day to day,
day to day. I got to lift my weights. I got to.
But I don't get up and go, am I going to be fit? Am I going to go to the gym? No, I'm going.
I'm going.
Now I'm going.
What
am I going to do there?
Yeah, what muscles am I working on? What exercise
am I
going to do?
Eat chips on the treadmill like that guy you saw in Chicago that one time. Oh, during the pandemic, though, I have to tell you that I was so terrible. We had Zumba online, and I would watch Zumba and eat.
I
ate snacks. And I'd watch Zumba and eat snacks.
I saw you actually doing Zumba, too, though.
Some days I would. Some days I'd do it, and then other days I'd watch it and eat snacks. But I showed up every day.
There's a little hack, right? I decided I was going to tune in to Zumba online every day. I did not decide that I was going to participate.
Do Zumba every day. Yeah, exactly.
But I was there.
Well,
I
that's the
in.
Thing about recovery is like you decide that you're in there every day, whether or not you're up to a certain level of participation, but it doesn't mean you're not going to participate at all.
Right.
Okay. So that's very important. I think that, you know, what is it? A boundary is not an ultimatum. A boundary is not do this or else. It's not. And for many years, I would give my dad ultimatums. Hey, Dad, if you drink at Thanksgiving and you make an ass of yourself again and you, you know, fall asleep at the table or burn down the house, because he would light the kerosene heater with his, he would light cigarettes off the kerosene heater. Put his face in there. Yeah, it was very strange.
That's how I light my pipes.
And also, back in the day, we had these gas stoves go click, 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 and it would come on.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd light your cigarette with the gas flame that would pop on. Yeah, this is rogue, man. Rogue. Rogue. Gen X material. So, you know, so I'd say, Dad, if you're dangerous, if you try to accidentally light the house on fire, you know, don't ruin Thanksgiving. Not having a plan if he did ruin Thanksgiving, because let's be honest, he did ruin Thanksgiving every holiday.
Are you suggesting that even after you said that those words to him,
it?
He still went out and did
that?
Can
you believe it? Damn you, dog, you better not bark. You better not bark. And I know that mailman's coming over, but you better shut your mouth. If you bark, I'm going to be really disappointed in you. Woof! You know? So a boundary is this. Dad, I'm inviting you over to Thanksgiving knowing what I'm getting into, but I want you to know I want a sober environment and a lovely time. The minute that I'm affected by your behavior, I'm going to ask you to go. You can count on me for that. I want you here, but the minute I start to do mental gymnastics or psychological warfare in my own head, or I'm praying to Jesus in the closet that you get your shit together, it's my sign.
And it occurs to me, as we're,
does it? Yes. Does it occur to you, Douglas?
It occurs to me.
Don't worry, guys. He doesn't think he's smarter than everybody. That's really just the way he talks. He's like Sheldon Cooper. Go on.
It occurs to me. This is why, actually, you know, honor you for being here and listening and going, you know, like digging into this and investing this, you know, your most valuable asset here is your time into this. But this is why it's so important to do this, because is it possible that sometimes we, because of past performance, we could be running a story and like kind of making ourselves nuts. And this is why it's also helpful to have support and go, okay, you know, like to help keep on track, because like people have been hurt and there's that fear that it's, oh, here we go again. And like the story goes on in the head, and it's really valuable to have that additional sort of feedback or support to go, you know, hey, where am I at? And it just occurred to me that
It just occurred. Fantastic. I love it.
Well, do you understand what I'm saying?
Partially. Sometimes I get a little, so, you know, and that's, I love that about you, because I know it's all going to come together in the end.
It is. It's, well,
I like
perhaps
that.
Perhaps I'm speaking to the other than conscious mind right now.
Let me bring it home. Okay. An ultimatum is an expectation, has an attachment to the outcome. An ultimatum has an attachment to the outcome. A boundary doesn't give a shit what happens, because it knows what it's going to do. Okay? I set an ultimatum. I want you to change. I'm hoping and praying it works. I want you to behave differently. I'm setting a boundary. I'm expecting you to behave how you behave. I'm not delusional about who and how you are, and I have my ducks in a row, and I have my plan B, and plan B is a boundary. Plan A is all dreams come true, happily even after. Plan B is, oh shit, now what? Plan boundary. And you need one. You need to, number one, know where your line is, where your sacred no is. And you don't have to start with the person. You can practice on less serious things. What is something that's bothering you in your everyday life? What is a behavior you're tolerating from somebody at work or in your everyday normal things that just drives you absolutely bananas, that you can make a decision you're no longer going to participate in? You're just unwilling to play that game, to walk into that show again, to buy a ticket to the circus, man. You're stocked up, fall full of peanuts. You're going home. You don't want to play that game no mo. Okay. What is your no? What is your no? The next thing that you have to do is communicate it in a moment of peacetime. Boundaries are set in peacetime, not in war. You don't wait for the thing to blow up before you get in there and say what you need to say. You do it in peacetime. Well, I don't want to rock the boat, Heidi. When things are good, why are you going to bring up the bad? Because I want you to know, person on the other end, what you can expect from me at all times. And do you know that's the most loving thing you can do for another human being, is let them know what they can expect from you, that you're consistent, that you sing the same song, you don't change your tune when they try to go rogue. You sing the same song all the time and they can count on you. That's how trust is built. When you do this, I do this. That's why we had the best house on campus at that residential, because I never changed. When the children would do the thing, they knew that my maiden name at the time, they called me Miss Bionic, like Bionic Woman. And they knew Miss Bionic was going to do the same thing every time. And you know what? They loved it. They didn't love the discipline, but they loved the structure.
And the consistency.
And the consistency. And so it doesn't matter if the addict or alcoholic in your life appreciates your consistency or not, but I guarantee you, you will.
It'll be effective, though.
You will appreciate it, and your children will appreciate it.
Well, and the other reason why you don't want to do it reactively is it's not going to land anyway.
No, because where is somebody, when you're in the middle of Crazy Town and you pull into Crazy Town and you pull over your car and you're like, I'm gonna make some sense of this stuff, and you get out of there. Okay, let's give a perfect example. Actually, addiction, the addicted brain is like the brain of
a toddler,
okay? Addiction lives in the limbic system and the reptilian part of the brain, and it lives in the, I want what I want and I want it now, and addiction is like in a tantrum. So I want you to picture, we have our daughter, she's 2 years old, we're in Walmart, and this girl knows how to party, all right? She knows how to throw a tantrum, she knows how to drop a beat. I mean, she is like intense, right? So we're in Walmart, she's screaming and yelling, and she's on the floor and she's tantruming, and you don't have to act it out totally, but you know, can you just start to
wah, 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 arg, arg, arg.
Now, every time you do that, you're never going to get what you really want, because anytime you act this way, okay. Anytime, and I'm trying to lecture, when you act this way, you're definitely not going to get what you want. And if you really want to get what you want, then you've got to behave, and you didn't do this, and you didn't, and
wham.
Nobody's home, man. She's out to lunch. She's in her limbic system. She's in her reptilian brain. She's like just trying to get what she wants. And so when you lecture in that moment, hey, I told you when you do this, you're going to do that, and you try to have that conversation, it's too late. It's too freaking late. It's like when we're getting ready to go to the store, okay, before we even go, it's the morning, we're having breakfast, we're about to go to Walmart. Hey, baby, I just want to let you know we're going to go to Walmart today. That's really fun, right?
Yay.
You're allowed to have one toy today, and the limit is $5.
Okay.
Okay. So, and if I'm going to tell you, if you ask for more than one toy, the answer is going to be no. And if you ask for something over $5.
What if I really, 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 really want it?
Yeah, it's still going to be no. And if you throw a tantrum.
What if it's one of a kind?
If you throw a tantrum. If anything, you know, crazy happens there, if you don't listen, then we will leave the store with no toys. Do you understand what I just said? Can you tell me what I said?
One toy, $5 limit, and if I don't listen.
She may or may not say that. I might need to tell her, but that's, so here's what you're watching us do, is do the steps, right? You give somebody a heads up before the behavior happens, because when we're at Walmart, and she's already there, I've already told her that's what we're doing. So I don't have to explain to her what we're doing. Hey, you only get one toy, and it's da-da-da-da-da, or no toys today, or whatever the conversation was. Now we have to leave. I don't have to say a word. I simply pick her up or calmly walk her out of the store, and then I explain it after she's done melting down. The addict or alcoholic comes home, they're drunk, you've told them you may not enter this house while you are under the influence, this is my sober home, this is my sacred space. They come knocking at the door and they're drunk and they're scaring you, and you don't want them to come in. You're not going to walk out and through the door have a conversation, when you come home drunk, I can't trust you, I told you. You're not going to do any of that. You're going to pick up the phone, you're going to call the police, you're going to have them escorted, say you're afraid, they're acting crazy. You're not going, and then when they are sober again, you're going to remind them that you told them that's what you were going to do. Because when you're in peacetime, you're going to go, John, when you come to this house under the influence or show up at late at night and you're drunk, you scare me and it scares the children. This is our sober home. This is a sober house. If you come home under the influence, I will call the police. It's not a shocker. It's not a surprise. You've already said what you're going to do. So the formula is, oh, by the way, if you want all of this, you want access to all the trainings, all the boundary formulas, all of the conversations, countless hours of coaching content, Q&As, any kind of topic you can possibly imagine, we've put it inside of our course, this Addiction Survival Toolkit. And you can find it at HeidiRain.com over at Addiction in the Family. It's at the time we're recording this, it's $9.97 for four courses and hours of content. Hours, you get Doug's hypnosis, estate management courses. He used to work with Tony Robbins for many years, so he knows all that neuro-linguistic programming and how to program your subconscious mind. And, of course, the family coaching as well inside of the course. Go get it. For $9.97, you have this whole library of resources at your fingertips to listen to. It's set up in a really nice teaching platform.
It's also videos.
It's all videos. It's easy to listen to and watch. Grab it. You'll be really glad you did. So having said that, the formula is when you're in peacetime, not in war. Another thing for the formula, it's like you're getting your ingredients together. It's set in peacetime, not in war. The second thing is it's very calm and it's concise and it's not wordy, and you do not need to justify, rationalize, explain your boundary. Your boundary just gets to be your boundary. You don't have to get into great detail about why you're doing it. Don't let your guilt do that to you. You deserve to want what you want and be able to have what you want to have.
And what will happen is if you start getting too rational and explanatory and all of that, then
try to set a boundary with me about my drinking.
Try to? Or
yeah, try to.
Okay.
Try to by rationalizing and let's do what not to do.
Okay. So, honey, you know, I've been thinking, you know, and I love you so much. And see, the thing is, you know, when you're drinking,
oh,
you know,
God,
there
here
becomes
we go again.
This, like, you know, Chuckling,
I know. Yeah. 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 You know what? When you
like
talk about this with me, it really
kids,
makes me want to drink.
Really,
you're making me want to drink right now. See, that was in the past. That was last week. I haven't done anything for at least 6 days. I mean, my God, do I get any credit for being sober for 6 days? Like, do I get any credit at all for being sober?
Well, you do have credit. That's why I'm having this conversation with you. So, you know, if you weren't sober right now, we wouldn't be having this conversation, would we?
Well, great. Thank you for that. Wow. Glad I got sober for it. Wee, good times. Wow.
So as I was saying, what I'd like to discuss is perhaps the idea that, you know, maybe we should set some sort of boundary around.
Oh, boundaries. You're going to Al-Anon now? You got the terms?
So, yeah.
Wow, man. I'm disgusting myself. I actually feel bad for you right now, and I need to stop. So, but yes. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to do what's called in corporate America, position the discussion. Okay. So I'm not going to go in and just say, hey, I want to talk to you about your alcoholism. I want to talk about your drinking. You position the discussion by saying, hey, honey, I want to talk to you later on about some really important things actually around your drinking. And I know that's a big deal. So you tell me, when's a good time today to have that conversation. You know, I was thinking either lunch or dinner. Do you have a preference?
Neither.
Neither. I need to tell you some things. Would you prefer me write them down for you and give them to you in a note, or would you want me to say them to you?
No. Okay, you can say them.
Okay, lunch or dinner?
Lunch.
Great. I need a buy-in for the conversation. I'm not going to go in rogue and blind and try to go up against all the guns and get my words in. And the other thing is, it's not up for debate. So if I try to set a boundary with you and you start to go rogue on me, if I say, hey, so glad we're here. Thank you for gathering here today.
You're probably wondering why we asked you here.
Probably wondering why we asked you here and why your cousin Tom is there. It's not funny. Anywho. Doug, yeah. I want to talk to you. I know you're doing great, and I'm really happy about that. And that's absolutely amazing. And I feel so safe because I see you're working really hard.
Good.
And I'm not planning for a relapse, but I want you to know if
we're starting to talk about that.
I need to talk about it. If you're not ready to hear it, I can write it down.
Okay.
I want to let you know that if there is a relapse, if you relapse and at the
but
minute,
I'm not.
Amen, right? If you do, what you can expect from me the minute it affects me physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that I will ask you to leave the house and go get treatment. And if you don't do that, then I'll have to find another way to facilitate that.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just hoping that you'll agree to go to treatment, really.
I'm not gonna relapse.
Okay. So that's great. So you don't have to worry about it. But if you do, you'll be willing to go into treatment then. You're going to try it your way now. But if this doesn't work for you, you're willing to go into treatment. Because I'll tell you what, if it doesn't work the way you want it to work, that's not your fault. It's just a sign that you need more help. Okay. Would you agree that if what you're going to do doesn't work and you need more help, you'll agree to go into treatment?
I guess.
Okay, great. If you don't, then I'll move to plan B, which is filing for separation. I don't know what your agreement is going to be, but here's what I can tell you what I do all day long. I have this strategy session with couples. First, so I meet with the spouse. And we meet and we talk about what your boundary is, what your absolute line is, what you want to have happen. We get your story, where you've been, what you're going through. And then many times I will meet with the spouse on a Zoom meeting and we'll video it. And I do that intervention. I do all that talking of like, hey, Tom, I see that, you know, hey, you can agree. We figure out where they're at. And I say, Tom, you know, you can agree. Looks like this has been an issue for you, and you can see how it's impacting the family. Yes, I can. Well, you know, the best course of action for somebody is to go to treatment. You know, research shows treatment for 30, 60, 90 days, then a sober living environment, and then you work your way back into the house. You know, but first, treatment. You know, that's the best results, and commitment to sobriety for one full year. No way am I going to treatment. I can't leave my corporate job. I can't leave my company. I can't leave this or that. I'm not going to treatment. Whoa, Tom. Okay. You know, what is your idea? What do you want to do? Well, I'm going to go to meetings and I'm not going to argue at that point. I'm not going to go, well, that sounds like it's not going to work, you know. I don't care what he's going to do. I care that I get the commitment that when that doesn't work, he goes into treatment and I have it on video. Okay. And then he says, oh, I'm going to try this. And I say, okay, Tom, that sounds really good. And, you know, hey, if that doesn't work, will you then agree that you need more help? You know, if that plan, you need more support, would you agree to go to treatment? Yeah, sure, I will. Okay. And if you don't go to treatment, what can you expect in your marriage? Judy, I will file for separation. I don't want to be in this dynamic. I only want to be in a relationship with a sober person, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not expecting you to know how to do this, to know what to say. So many of my clients are like, if I could just have you in my ear like a little cricket, you know. But if you want to start the conversation, one of two things, get the course over on HeidiRain.com or go to HeidiRain.com and schedule the strategy session. And let's get moving. Let's figure out what your boundaries are.
It occurs to me
again
that was what I was offering as an opportunity to ponder earlier.
Oh my God. We really did come full circle. Explain yourself.
Well,
what do you mean?
My point is that this is a very complex situation because of the dynamics of people and prior pains and traumas, and it's not something to go alone. And
yeah, amen to that.
And that's what I was inferring was that.
Oh, you know, inferring? Were you inferring it?
Yes, not only was I inferring, I inferred it. Was that I was honoring the fact that if you're listening to this, you're doing the work, and also acknowledging the value and importance of what you just shared, like and how complicated things could be and how much easier it is when you have support.
Yeah, when you have the words at your fingertips or somebody says the words for you and supports you in that way, mm-hmm. Obviously. You know, the number one reason that boundaries fail is because we fail to enact the boundary. Boundaries don't fail. Ultimatums fail. Boundaries only fail if you haven't really set a boundary.
Yeah, and I would suggest, you know, when you do that is actually sit with, like, play that tape. Like, when you, like, share, when you decide whatever, or you're making the decision, whatever that boundary would be, is actually play it through and imagine it and go, okay, can I actually follow through with that? Because if you go, yeah, that's what it is, and then it's time to say it, or it's time to act upon it, because now you've said it and now it's like, uh-oh, is this a bluff or not, right? I mean, with the example you used earlier, if with Ellie, if we don't pick up and go, what did she just learn?
Yeah, we've had to do that many times. So you don't want to say something you're not prepared to do.
Right.
You know, maybe the first step is, you know, if you're unwilling to meet with a strategist or have a session or talk about it or confront the issue or whatever it is. I mean, I think there's so many people in different positions around your relationships that you're not all in the same place. Some of you just found this out. You just discovered this person you thought was like just a little bit kind of, you know, partier or whatever, and you're like, oh my God, no, I think this is a full-blown addiction. This is an alcohol. Or you found that the internet searches and you're like, holy cow. Or somebody's been to treatment 5 times and they're in halfway and you don't know what to do now, or they're in sober living, or, you know, everybody's at a different point on the journey, and your advice is what to say and what to do is specific to you. That's why we have those strategy sessions. But this information that Doug and I are giving you tonight is for everyone. Know what your sacred no is. Have the conversation with the people that you love ahead of time, and have it in peacetime, not in war. Don't wait for the shit to hit the fan. Say what you believe before it erupts, so that people can know what to expect from you. And then you use the formula. Use as little words as possible. Be concise. And it goes, when you fill in the blank, I feel. Fill in the blank. How do you feel? I want. What is it that you do want? If you fill in the blank, I will fill in the blank. And I have to tell you this simple formula. I've had clients put it in their pocket on a little form. You know, hey, when you drink at dinner, after you've, you know, we've talked about being sober, when you drink at dinner, I feel anxious, overwhelmed, upset, worried. I want to have a sober dinner. If you drink at dinner, I will leave you at the restaurant. That's pretty clear. The problem is when my partner drinks at the restaurant and he goes, well, it's just wine. It's not like I'm taking shots of Jaeger. Come on, I can just have one glass of wine. And you go, okay, let's see. You have to look at your partner and go, I love you. I see you're drinking wine. Good night. Good night. Call an Uber. Do what you need to do and get out of there. Not because they're going to go, oh my God, I shouldn't drink. Let me throw the wine away. Not because of that. Not because they're going to go, oh, forget this, and trace after you and run after you like a movie scene, and it's Jake in his car waiting outside of 16 candles. Not that, okay? That you know you can count on you to do what you need to do to feel okay no matter what the fuck somebody else is doing, all right? People are going to do what they're going to do. What are you going to do to be okay no matter what they do? How are you going to protect yourself? I had this conversation today with somebody about learning how to go into be in relationships with people. And I was like, so what do you do? What's your skill? You know, how do you handle it? And she was like, well, I just know what to say and what not to say, what to talk about, what not to talk about. You know, I know how to like position. I said, so basically, you know how to walk on eggshells. I said, so codependency is the plan. And we both busted out laughing because she didn't even realize that codependency was how she was coping with it. And that's why this is called addiction and codependency. You get to want what you want. You get to stand up for yourself. And people are still going to disappoint you. They're still going to drink. They're still going to do the thing. But you need to know that you can count on you no matter what happens in any situation. And
I think
that's all I have to say about Leah.
Is not attached to the outcome. Again, just reiterate that.
Matching the outcome with the
manipulation.
Right. Not looking at the dog and being like, don't bark, damn it, I'm going to be mad at you. But going, the dog's going to bark. What am I going to do?
Right.
What am I going to do? He's going to drink at the table. He's going to start making an ass of himself in Mexico. And we're going to be on vacation. well, you need a game plan. You can't tell him, I'm not going to go to Mexico with you if you drink. And then he acts like a jerk. And then you're like, okay, well.
And by the way, it's possible that they won't drink. And if they don't, then great.
Yeah, right? But there'll be a time that they will. So what'll happen is they'll go to, if they're not in recovery, they'll say, don't drink, you know, hey, and they'll go, okay, why? And then they'll go, well, I did all last week and I didn't drink for you.
Okay, so yeah, I was just making now, that distinction that it is possible for someone to quit drinking and to live a life in recovery and all that. I just wanted to throw in a little bit of hope.
Did you want to throw in hope? A little depressing? See, this is why you bring the light, because I live in the dark, and I like that about you.
Just saying that if someone just tuned in right now, like, well, he's going to drink. You know, I was like, well, no. I mean, yes, that's a possibility. And
Listen to me right now. Doug and I got asked to go give a motivational talk. Doug and I got asked to go make a motivational talk at a retirement facility, and like a high-end old folks home. Okay. So Doug is breakthrough guy, right? He helps people eat fire. You know, do you ever see those things like people walk on fire, Tony Robbins, or they eat the fire, or they break the boards,
walk
or they walk on glass, or cut an arrow with their eardrum, you know, whatever. Okay, so he does these things. He's like the empowerment guy. So he gets up there and he's like, you know, basically just like making people feel really good. All right, that is your superpower. And I get up there.
You're all gonna die.
Welp, guys. I said, life isn't as good as it you pretend it to be, is it? That was my opener. Like, you know, it's life isn't what it seems, is it? you guys aren't really happy, are you?
Sometimes you feel like jumping off a cliff.
I was like,
you wish you were closer to the ocean, you know, so you could drown.
Yeah, I get up and I go, what's not working in your life? You know what I mean? And they're 80. They're like, fuck, I don't care anymore. I mean, it was bad. We didn't get invited back. Needless to say, we did not. But you probably could have done a really good job if you would have went by yourself. So we make a nice team where I'm going to give that hard dose of reality and you come along to bring the hope. Sometimes I forget to bring the hope because you are the hope. All right. No matter what somebody else does, the only thing that you have control over is this: your fortress, your mind, your body, your spirit, your energy. And if you can learn how to protect that, like the sacred space it is, you will be living a heaven even in the midst of hell.
I was just fanning that flame of hope. I agree. Everyone is 100% in control of the decisions they make.
I need to wear like a dark cloak when I come in here and just be like, you want the cloak of truth. It's coming over you today, bitch. Buckle up. Oh, God. I know. I feel bad. You know, no, I love you.
Yeah. No, right? I wasn't. Yeah. And I wasn't like besmirching
but he's gonna
you.
Drink.
It was just.
Oh, my God. Besmirch? Come on, honey. That's way too many in one. What was the word you used the other day when we were driving?
Consternation.
Consternation. Who knows that word? I know a lot of words. Consternation. Okay. That's your vocabulary word of the day. Mm. We love you. Next week, tomorrow morning, I'm flying to Pittsburgh to be with my sister. I am praying to God I can talk her into doing the podcast episode because you'll be flying and I'll be picking you up that night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You get in late, right? Mm-hmm. Like 11 o'clock or something. So my hope is that Sissy will do it with me, but you'll see a different background. I'll be in Pennsylvania, but I'll be with you. Let us know what your thoughts are on this episode. What more questions do you have around boundaries? What are some other thoughts you have? Next week, I really want to talk about this idea of growing up inside of an alcoholic home and really understanding the impact of growing up around addiction, whether you thought it was that bad or not, even if it was a functioning alcoholic. What are the markers of an adult daughter of an alcoholic, and what type of relationships does she have? What type of thoughts does she think? What type of behaviors and patterns does she engage in? And it's going to be an awesome talk. So I hope to see you there Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be so grateful if you subscribe. Can they leave ratings now? Can people be leaving ratings and rate the podcast on some of the platforms?
Theoretically, I haven't looked into that.
Well, if you're a private person, don't worry about it. But if you can give a rating anywhere you can, if you're enjoying something, even on Google, I think you can leave a review or something. Yeah, I don't know. We just really appreciate it.
Well, certainly on Apple, you can.
It's going to help us quite a bit. I think the podcast is everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's on pretty much every platform. And also, you know, like, subscribe, you know, hit the like button. I see them do that. Hit the like button.
If our 9-year-old was here, she'd like and subscribe. Put it in the comments. Drop a heart.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Drop a heart if you're feeling it, if you agree.
Smash the like button.
Smash the like button. Smash it. Okay, we love you.
Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you.
So much. Have a beautiful night. Have a perfect week. Think about and meditate on your sacred no. Make a list of things you're no longer willing to settle for or tolerate, and then start to think about what would it look like if you lived your life from that place. Love you so much. Good night, everybody. Have a beautiful week. See you next week.
We love you for who you are.
I'm like, what are you going to do now?
I was going to maybe do closed eye, but it's not...
Yeah.
Probably don't need it.
No.
All righty. We love you for who you are and who you aren't. God bless.
Good night. Good night. Good night.